Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us today. Go ahead and turn the NCAA tournament on mute while you listen to the Three Martini Lunch for the next several minutes here. We hope you all got your brackets in on time and are going to enjoy the tournament. Good luck if you actually run a business with productivity over the next couple of days. Let's start with a good martini today, Jim, and we go actually to the set of Morning Joe. Mark Halperin is a frequent contributor to that program. He was actually up conducting some focus group interviews in New Hampshire, obviously the first in the nation primary. We won't talk about that status after yesterday's Iowa ran, but nonetheless, it still plays an important role in the process. And they were talking to very likely Democratic voters and very likely Republican voters. And the good news for Republicans is that even Democrats have a huge problem with Hillary's email scandal. Here's that from Morning Joe earlier today.
What was your big takeaway from Hillary?
On Hillary, it's you know, Paul Begala and other Clinton defenders say no one's paying attention and no one cares. The people you saw there were mostly strong Hillary Clinton supporters. They don't want anyone to run against her. Their knowledge of and intense concern about what she did with her emails was quite striking. They said she should have an independent person look at her server. What she did was not just politically bad, but they're really troubled.
But they're still strong supporters, though.
Still strong supporters, but it does put a lot of the notion that people aren't paying attention and they're not concerned about. Even strong supporters of her in New Hampshire really concerned about.
And you, Jim, then you also go with the Ron Fournier story that Democrats are getting nervous that there's going to be more Clinton scandals or that the general public isn't going to like the political scandals that we already know about. So nervousness among the Democrats and a scandal that's not going away for Hillary. Pretty good news for conservatives.
You know, I have to really salute Halperin and his partner there, because this is actually kind of an interesting revealing bit that we all kind of feel like we kind of wish we could, you know, take information to the other side and just see how they react to it. And it was a really fascinating reaction from the Hillary supporters gathered there in New Hampshire. And at one point, I think it was Scarborough or somebody said, just look at the looks on their faces. Crestfallen might be a slight exaggeration, but just, you know, there's an expression in their tone of voice suggests really deep disappointment in Hillary. They're not jumping to defend it. They're not insisting there's nothing wrong here. They're not jumping to counterattack her critics. No, they really think she did something wrong here. Probably not enough to discourage them from voting for her. But, you know, they don't believe that this is all part of a vast right-wing conspiracy. And they really feel like she has made either a critical error in bad judgment or maybe that assumption of noble motives is starting to fade away from there. Now, if you think your preferred candidate doesn't have good motives and you're still voting for them, I'd urge you to crawl up to a very tall point and look out at the horizon and contemplate your philosophy of life and just how cynical you're willing to be about this. But I think there's something kind of revealed about this particular scandal with the Clintons. Greg, let's compare this to, say, Barack Obama using an executive order to create kind of a de facto amnesty for 5 million illegal immigrants. You and I think that's a terrible idea. We think it's unconstitutional. We think it's a wholesale rewriting of immigration policy. It's terrible. But if you're a Democrat and you really like it, you really like it because you probably think it's the right thing for those 5 million illegal immigrants. You like it because you think this puts them on a path to citizenship and that someday they're going to become full American citizens. They're going to vote for Democrats. You think that people who oppose it are horrible racists and this kind of is tweaking those horrible racists and xenophobes and all kind of that. But in other words, like Obama, when Obama trashes the Constitution, you can at least see it for other people. It is a giving form of corruption, Greg. It's an other-minded form of dictatorship. Hillary Clinton, you can't say that she put it all on the personal servers to help this demographic or this group or something like that. It is entirely about protecting her. And that, so I talked about this in the Morning Joe today, that, you know, the difference between power and money and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Barack Obama's mission is to transform the United States of America. So everything he does is that. The Clintons are here to live the high life as royalty. And this scandal kind of underlines that sense about them, that they don't believe the rules apply to themselves, and it's designed to protect them as opposed to doing something more outward-focused like changing the country. As conservatives, we think both of them are bad, but I think it's kind of interesting to draw the distinction between the two types of Democratic, malfeasance and bad behavior.
Yeah, certainly the case. And hopefully this means the media is going to stay on top of it, too, when they know that even Democrats are concerned about it and still want answers. Because no matter what political stripe you're with, unless you're Lanny Davis or Paul Begala, you're pretty much unsatisfied with what you heard from Hillary Clinton last week. So on to the bad martini now. And yesterday's good martini, of course, was the not just the victory of Likud and Benjamin Netanyahu in Tuesday's Israeli elections, but by a much more comfortable margin than anyone would have suspected. Fascinatingly, the Obama administration has yet to issue congratulations, at least from President Obama. Apparently, Secretary of State Kerry has done so. Some people are speculating that the congratulations is supposed to come once the coalition government is actually formed. But even yesterday on CNN, Allison Camerota thought it was curious that this administration probably wasn't very happy to see Netanyahu win. The best the White House could pony up was the director of political strategy, a guy named David Simas, or Simas, depending on how you pronounce it. And here's how that conversation went.
Is it fair to say that there is not a massive celebration happening at the White House this morning with this news?
Allison, we want to congratulate the Israeli people for the democratic process, for the election that they just engaged in with all the parties that engage in that election. As you know now, the hard work of coalition building begins. Sometimes that takes a couple of weeks. And we're going to give space to the formation of that coalition government. And we're not going to weigh in one way or another, except to say that the United States and Israel have a historic and close relationship, and that will continue going forward.
Jim, congratulations on holding a successful election is something you tell Iraqis in 2005 or Afghans around the same time. Israel, congratulations, you successfully held an election?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you really put your finger on it, because I was trying to think about, like, there's something odd about congratulating Israel on holding an election when they do this pretty regularly, every couple of years, right? And so there's a little bit of this, you know, I've always been to that philosophy of, when you score a touchdown, act like you've done it before. You know, that sense, there's some guys, they spike the ball, they do a big dance and all that kind of stuff. And there are always certain running backs, certain players who just believe they hand it to the referee. You know why? Because I've done it before and I'm going to do it again. Scoring a touchdown isn't something extraordinary. It's what I do. Well, a democratic election in Israel, it's not extraordinary. I don't even sure they really feel like they need congratulations on not having the balloting collapse into rioting. No, this is Israel, all right? This is you know, what they do. They may wait until the coalition government gets formed. It's pretty obviously going to get formed out of Netanyahu's party and a couple of the other ones. If they don't do it then we're going to see this kind of fascinating, you know, status of President Obama. Because periodically when you hear him complain about House Speaker John Boehner or the reaction to the 2014 midterms, he always acts like he's the first president who's ever had to deal with the opposition party controlling Congress.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, meanwhile, George W. Bush is like, hello, you know, I had Nancy Pelosi. And Bill Clinton had Newt Gingrich. And George H.W. Bush had a Democratic Congress for his entirety of his presidency. And Ronald Reagan had Democrats controlling the House the entire. Like, this is actually kind of normal. And he acts like it's this unbelievable burden that only he has ever had to deal with. And that his opposition is just so much more extreme and all stuff. I mean, do you think that this is the first time there's been an Israeli leader who wasn't doing everything the United States president wanted him to do? Really, there's never disagreement. Netanyahu has been during the Clinton years. George H.W. Bush relationship with Israel and James Baker was not warm and fuzzy. So this is like kind of normal to have a foreign leader who you're not a big fan of, and then they win re-election, fooey. Then you got to just put it aside and work together the best you can. And with there's this pettiness, this constant trolling, this constant stuff that, like, Obama can't just let it go and say, all right, we're going to go work with these guys. And again, this is like, remember, this is Mr. Red States and Blue States. There's only red, white, and blue states, and what a great leader he was going to be and how forward thinking. There are times he acts like a toddler, and we're stuck with this for the next 2 years, Greg.
Well, if that wasn't enough to ruin your lunch, if that wasn't enough to ruin your lunch, let me throw this sentence at you. Dick Cheney's in Playboy. In a new interview for the April issue, he was interviewed by James Rosen. He, of course, with Fox News, and they covered a variety of topics. Cheney, of course, slamming Obama for the complete withdrawal from Iraq. He obviously sees that as the major reason for Iraq devolving into chaos and ISIS having a ripe opportunity for advance there. He says, I look at Barack Obama and I see the worst president of my lifetime without question. I used to have significant criticism of Jimmy Carter, but compared to Barack Obama and the damage he is doing to the nation, it's a tragedy. He also accuses Obama and Holder of playing the race card anytime somebody disagrees with them. And he says it's the criticism is merited because of their performance or lack of performance because of incompetence. It has nothing to do with race. So, Jim, Dick Cheney's now 74 years old, but A, good news, he's fully clothed throughout the interview. And secondly, it appears that he has not lost his ability to cut to the chase in what he believes.
So, Greg, how'd you hear about that?
On the internet, because you sent me a link that was not linked to Playboy.
Ah, very good, very good. Okay, so it wasn't. Yes. Yeah, so obviously, look, we're only reading it for the articles. That's very important. You know, emphasis there. I am sure this is actually going to be a fascinating interview because I think James Rosen is actually probably one of the more spectacularly underrated reporters in the Fox News stable. Very smart, very quick on his feet, knows a lot about history and isn't necessarily just going to, you know, let Cheney take the easy talk. He apparently did say to Scrooge that he asked him one question about Gerald Ford and it turned into a 20-minute discussion about aircraft carriers. Just kind of fascinating the directions that interview went on. It's just, you know, James Rosen and Dick Cheney in Playboy? Really? Really? I don't know whether this will, like, win over Dick Cheney new fans in the Playboy demographic, whether no one's actually going to read the article because they're turning to whichever model is on, you know, the next page. Insert centerfold joke here. You know, it's just strange. New justification. You see people with Washington walking around buying Playboy. They're not necessarily what you think. It's really just because they really want to know what Dick Cheney thinks.
At least that's the pretense.
Yeah, and you know, there's a joke about his first name in there somewhere, but I'm just not even going to touch it. So there you go.
Oh boy. Okay, Jim, I think it's time to go. Who do you have winning your bracket?
Kentucky all the way.
Yeah,
I have the very original strategy of always picking the favorites. Which, you know, if you're playing the odds, that's won me the pool a couple times. You know, you're not likely to successfully pick the upset nobody sees. So don't bother. Play the averages, and you'll end up with the most wins at the end.
Yeah, exactly. I think Kentucky, obviously being undefeated and a prohibitive favorite, is the choice of a lot of people. So those other games will matter. Good luck to everyone out there. Hope you take home whatever pool you happen to be in. So, Jim, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.